Hello, and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. On this week's episode, Lou and I are going to break down our two Arch Madness games and how our cardiac ramblers took our hearts for a roller coaster ride before breaking them once more this season. We'll also get into the postseason awards, in which our Ramblers racked up a bunch of Missouri Valley Conference honors and already some All-American honors as well. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy another episode of Podcast 63.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
Welcome back into the next episode of Podcast 63. Buck and Lou here with you again, and we're going to start on a happy note. The first game of the Arch Madness tournament, Loyola prevailed over Valparaiso 67-54, and it was not as close as the score indicated. Loyola had this one in the bag pretty much from the start of the second half. They led at halftime 40-18, and the second half was just a coasting job by Loyola to make sure to keep players healthy and keep their minutes down as they went on to win this one. So Lou, what were your thoughts on the first game in Arch Madness?
First game Arch Madness was a game you wanted to watch at Arch Madness. It was domination, 40-18 in the first half. It was really quick first half kind of feel when a score that big. And second half, the box score might not indicate it. Second half, Valparaiso had 36 points to our 27, only winning the game by 13. But we were running the clock. There's no need in a tournament like that. There's no need when you have such a big lead to really stress guys who are starters. This is where you figure out rotations and let guys get minutes and more breathing time. It's a big deal, these tournaments, and they need to be a big deal. And that's what the game was in the second half. First half was amazing. It was a great game to watch. The ball moved as a team. We had 16 assists. That's a great thing to just watch guys get high assists. Five from Clay, four from Marcus. So the ball was really moving around. Three guys in double digit scoring. You had Lucas Williams with 10. So the game was overall a dominant game. Second half was just us controlling our little fate there.
Yeah, so the first quick hitter we're going to jump into here is probably the most obvious one, which is Cameron Crutwig completely dominated this game. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. And it was especially impressive coming against Valparaiso because they have two big guys that are both over 7 feet tall. So to have Cameron dominate, Cameron's only 6'9". He's a big guy, but he's not super tall like the bigs at Valparaiso. So to have him come in and dominate against these two guys was really encouraging to see. And from a fan's perspective, it was what we had hoped for and something we were looking forward to. And hopefully we had hoped that he would continue to just dominate at Arch Madness. We all know that did not happen, but this game was very encouraging to see him have a game like this. He shot over 50% from the field, and he was dishing and diming and dunking. Lou, I know he's your guy. What did you think from Cam's game overall against Valpo?
Again, 18 points is a high scoring game. Only 6 rebounds, but he had 3 assists. A little weird with the 3 turnovers, but he had 2 blocks. So it was a good game to watch. Just really an interesting way to start the NBC tournament. Really couldn't complain with any of the playing. He had 28 minutes for the game, and that just shows you because really didn't need to play at all throughout that game. So just really strong outing by the whole team. And that's what you want to see with a guy like Cameron Crutwig after the award ceremonies, him getting first team. It really showed you that he is first team. He had 10 points in the first half. So again, that just shows you where the dominance came, and then added 8 in the second. So it was a good game, I think, by him.
One of my favorite plays he had came in that second half, towards the end of the game, when Custer drove and found a cutting Cameron Crutwig for a voracious dunk. Cam was hype. Everyone was hype. I was hype in my own house. It was super exciting to see him get super excited and animated and flush one home like that. I think that's only a signal of more things, more dunks like that for him in the future. I mean, we saw just his transformation from last year as a freshman to this year as a sophomore. And I don't know if there's a stat that tracks dunks, but I'm almost positive that Cameron Krawig doubled or tripled the amount of dunks he had. I don't even know if he dunked.
No, I definitely agree.
Yeah, so that's always exciting. I mean, you know, dunk counts the same as a layup, but it's way more exciting to see.
I think you and I made a little bet about that
earlier. No. We don't have to talk about that. Okay. No, we can't. For the viewers and listeners, we bet early on in the season which would happen first. Ahir Ugoak scoring 20 points or Cameron Krawig dunking. And this was after hearing a lot of people, former players, current players, saying how great Ahir was going to be, how much of a dynamic scorer he was going to be. So I was the one who took Ahir scoring 20 points, and that did not happen. And I think Krawig dunked like in the first
half. He dunked the first game.
So first game. I think I still owe you for that one. But, I mean, nonetheless, Krawig dominated. It was
team dominated.
Yeah, so, yeah, everyone. It was a good game. We've mentioned 40-18 lead at half, but everyone else played so well too. I mean, just to like name a few guys, Marcus had 15, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. That's kind of the game we've come to know from him. But also Lucas scoring 10 points. He had 3 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He was 2-for-3 from 3, which is exciting to see. Love him shooting those 3 balls. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Lucas has in store for us, even this postseason and then going into his junior year, just having a long time to be healthy and be competitive, is something to look forward to. Who else did you see that played well in this game against Valpo, Lou?
I would really say that, I'm going to talk about like the bench a little bit for listeners. I would say the 3 guys, Cooper, Bruno, Frank. They were in there. They were in the game quite often. And again, not a lot of guys played that many minutes for the game. Cooper and Bruno both played 20 minutes, 23 minutes a piece each. Frank with 10. So it kind of was great seeing the bench guys again. And again, that's that dominance factor when you're up 40-18 and a half. Guys can get in there. And I think that was a great thing to see. Other guys were helping there. And again, it's with the when after the 3 guys scoring double digits, when you were talking about the 3, Cameron, Marcus, and Lucas, everyone else had about 4 or 5 or 6 points. That's what it, where it ranged from. But again, it's multiple guys were getting that. So that means multiple guys were getting touches, multiple guys were seeing the rim and looking up and trying to score. So that's just great. Ball rotation, ball movement, just great really to see everyone spread the floor like that.
Yeah, and speaking of spreading the floor, we mentioned before, but 16 assists on 27 made baskets in this game. Very encouraging to see. Our big 3 had 12 combined. Custer had 5, Marcus had 4, and Krawig had 3. It's exactly what you want to see, getting other guys involved. But also another guy, Bruno, had 2. I thought he played a very impressive game. It's kind of what you wanted to see out of a junior who, you know, has been to Arch Madness now. This was his 3rd one. So it was encouraging to see him get involved, get the offense involved. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal from Bruno, which is about as good of a stat line as you could hope from him. But seeing Custer have 5 assists was really encouraging. I think the broadcast even said during the game that Custer doesn't need to score for this team to be really good. And while I have my issues with that, it is true that, you know, his passing is very key to this team, and setting guys up for shots is just as important as him scoring. And then we did mention, but having 3 double-digit scorers, like we've mentioned throughout the season, having 3 guys score or 3 guys have productive games is what this team needs, which is, as we'll see in the Bradley game, not what happened. But we needed 3 guys to perform, and pretty much everyone performed, but namely Cameron, Marcus, and Lucas had really impressive scoring performances that led to the team shooting nearly 52% from the field. But overall, I mean, this game was impressive. The first half sealed the deal. It was over pretty quickly. Any final thoughts on the Valparaiso game, Lou?
Nope. Valparaiso was the game we wanted and loved to see start the MVC Valley Tournament play. And that should have been in, as we'll talk about why I'm saying this, but should have been the statement of the level of where we all should wanted the team to be. But again, it's not everything is what we want it to be sometimes. So, but I think this Valpo game was a great game to see and just put it in the the rankings of our record books there, but that's pretty much what it was at the end of it.
Yeah, so this win brought us to 20 wins on the season, which is an impressive number. It's kind of meaningless, but it is impressive to see Loyola get to the 20-win mark again. The final here was 67-54, and we're going to move now into the next round, the semifinals against Bradley.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
So, and sadly, the Loyola Ramblers are not moving on, unlike our audio clip there. Our Ramblers lost to Bradley 53-51 in a very tightly battled game in which, unlike a lot of the times last season, we just couldn't find that last shot. We had an opportunity with the ball at the end of the game, only down two, to either tie or win, and Marcus's jump shot fell just short of the bucket, and we were sent packing. Overall, in my opinion, the game was super frustrating. There were times in which we looked great. Some guys stepped up, like Cooper and Clay, who played really well, and they had moments throughout the game where it looked fantastic, and it looked like we were back in it, or we were gonna, take the lead. But overall, the guys just could not find it at the end. And Bradley moved on, and they moved on and won the Arch Madness tournament, and they will be heading to March Madness, most likely as a 15 seed. So, Lou, I know we hate to see it, we hate to talk about it, but we got to. What were your thoughts from the game?
Yeah, after, like we said in the earlier quick hitters with Valpo game was a great thing to watch, but this was not a great thing to watch. We just played Bradley at the end of the season, to end the regular season, and for those of you who don't remember, but we did win that game, and we played it pretty well. This kind of goes back to when we played SIU a few years ago, regular season, end of the year, and lost them, and then they were the first game we played right away and lost them again. So I think it was kind of tough trying to understand how, again, Bradley did beat us in the regular season earlier, but maybe you would take on the things that you did well against them and continue. So, yeah, pretty much it was just a tough one to watch. Again, as it came down to a shot at the end, and kind of as people that I read, those March Madness shots didn't come then, but I think this game should not have been left up to that moment. I think certain people took shots and made them that I was surprised to see they were the people taking the shots because I was wondering where everyone else was. But, yeah, again, is this just a sour thing to really end this regular season on? For those of you who know, we did come in first, so we will be invited to the NIT. Again, as that does not, rankings do not come out until this following Sunday, so we don't know right now. But we're not, our season is technically over, but it's not really where we wanted it to head to. So,
yeah. So just to not beat around the bush, Cam and Marcus played awful. And the most important game of the season, I mean, I know a lot of the games throughout the season we could say were the most important game. But this one was the most important, and both guys scored less than 10 points, which for Cam was the first time he scored less than 10 points in conference play this year at all, and for Marcus was only the second time that he scored less than 10 points. I know one of the things that was going around Twitter during the first half was just the amount of blocks that Bradley accumulated, and out of the 9 total blocks that Bradley had, 3 were against Cameron and 4 were against Marcus, which is really tough to see, especially because those guys are the guys that tend to finish very strong around the basket. And in both Cameron and Marcus's benefit, they are very crafty and figure out a way to score. And seeing them get blocked time after time after time was A, super frustrating, and B, disappointing. I mean, I thought half of them might have been foul calls. I'm not going to sit here and say that we lost this game because of the refereeing, but I definitely thought there was at least 2 or 3 where either one of them could have gotten 2 free throw shots. I mean, Cam and Marcus on the biggest stage this season played their worst. I know Cameron suffered a bit of a tweaked ankle, I think towards the middle of the second half. So I'm sure that affected him and his ability to finish around the basket. In Marcus's case, I mean, his jump shot wasn't falling. We've seen him hit mid-range jump shot after mid-range jump shot, and each and every one just seemed to be off and not falling. But, I mean, he also couldn't finish around the hoop, and he was 0 for 3 from 3. Yeah, Lou, I mean, what do you make of it? What do you make of both Cam and Marcus struggling?
I think it's kind of tough to watch our two guys who are first-team All-NBC struggle. There's no other really way to say it. You would hope that if one didn't have that great of a game, the other would help the other one out and really balance each other out. But it was a tough one that they didn't. It was just really a tough thing to see Marcus go 3 for 17, like you said, with the field goal percentage. That's not a great thing at all to see. I was suggesting maybe get to the line. Krogh didn't even get to the line. Only two people to get to the line were Marcus and Bruno, and they all both went 1 for 2. So, again, when a game ends in 2 points, free throws come in handy to have. Yeah, it was a really tough thing, as we talked about. Cameron Krutwig had 8 rebounds, but he had 6 points, and that's a rare thing to see. Usually the games where Cam has high rebounds, he'll have high points. And I think, as you said, you can correct me, this is the first game in a while that he had under 10 points. So it was a tough one, definitely not pleasing at all.
Yeah.
No real good things to talk about. Again, we had a high assist to turnover ratio, maybe, but we got blocked, and it was a game where the dominance in the Valpo game you never really saw in this game. And that's a thing the games we've lost, we've not had. The reason why is because we let the other team take our mojo, take something ahead of us, and not really work as a team. And team ball is an issue that I saw there. And the team ball really wasn't being found. You had guys like freaking Cooper Kavis. I guess if my one happy thought is Cooper Kavis dropped 14 points. Kid was 4 from 5 from 3. He's the guy who shot a 3 ball from the logo, maybe, with a minute 30 left in the game to help us get close and inch our way there. And it's great to see things like that. I can see that he's a kid who over the season, and again, the season's not over, so I'm wrong to say the season, but great to see a highlight from him. But you would hope that with his performance, maybe that would lead toward other guys producing like in the Valpo game, but that just didn't. And that's just how it went. So it was a tough one. It definitely was, yeah.
Yeah, just to add on to one other guy who had a good game, Clayton Custard played very well. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals for him. But as we've talked about a couple times, more than a couple times on the podcast, we need more than two guys to have good games. And usually throughout the regular season, either Cameron or Marcus would have a good game, and then it was a matter of finding, you know, two more guys. In this case, neither Cameron or Marcus played well, and instead Cooper and Clayton both had great games, and we needed to find one more guy, and that just didn't happen. Lucas, I mean, played pretty well. 8 points, 2 threes, a couple rebounds, an assist, and a steal. But he also, I mean, he's not innocent here. He didn't have a great game. He played well defensively. He shut Darryl Brown down, probably their best scorer on the team, only making 3 shots out of 13. And he only had 8 points. So, I mean, he did his job on the defensive end. But he really needed to hit another 3 or make another shot, and he didn't do it either. So, I mean, it came down to Clayton and Cooper playing well, but that just wasn't enough for this team to continue on and go into the next round. Super disappointing to see, but from Cooper's standpoint, I mean, it's exciting. It's super great to see him step up, especially an important game, to have the confidence to take these shots and be efficient and be effective. I think it's only a matter of time next year before he develops into someone who you can count on for 10 or 12 points every game. Seeing a performance like this, and it wasn't like he was hitting wild shots or off balance 3-pointers or, you know, a Hail Mary from half court. He was hitting in rhythm 3s, finding his own shot, creating for himself. And it was all things that can be replicated next season. Moving on from those two guys, one of the things that really we've done so well all season long and did not do well in this game was preventing offensive rebounds, and second chance points. Bradley had 13 total offensive rebounds, and that led to 12 second chance points. And in a game where it's so low scoring, it's just something you can't have happen. Need your guys like Cameron and Lucas and Marcus to box out and get those rebounds. And one of the things why, or one of the reasons why I think that might have happened, is Ahir Ugwuok not playing a lot of minutes. He only played 17 minutes in this game, albeit he was struggling defensively, and he only took two shots. But we have come to know him, if nothing else, being a very good rebounder. He skies up, he grabs those rebounds, he boxes out pretty well. And for him to only play 17 minutes, I think that really hurt the team as far as rebounding goes. So I think in the future, to keep an eye on Ugwuok's minutes in comparison to how many offensive rebounds the other team gets. But Lou, I know you brought this one up, and you know you had mentioned the offensive rebounds. So do you want to chime in here on the offensive rebounds?
Yeah, this was a thing I remember in the Bradley lost. Guys were just getting into the boards and grabbing it for Bradley, and that's just a thing I think is huge. Offensive rebounds again don't automatically say, "Oh, hey, they grabbed an offensive rebound, they're going to score." But in a game like this, they did have 12 second chance points, and we only lost by two. So if you cut those second chance points in half, again, there's multiple ways to say it, and there's multiple ways to put it, and there's different ways I can code it. But I think that's just an indicator to be like, okay, 13 offensive rebounds by Bradley and 12 of their second chance points could have came off of that, I would say, and they did. So I think when they really connect and equal out to each other like that, I think it's a big thing to see. And again, that's just one area. That was one part. Their star player of the game was the sixth man of the year, the co-sixth man of the year for the NBC, Nate Kennel. But those are just then two things that just build on top of each other that just really don't show a great game by the Loyola Ramblers. So maybe if you canceled one out, okay, you give up. And again, no game is going to be perfect unless you win 100-0. There something unless the other team can't score any points, that's when you really shut a team down. But there are going to be some areas where a team does great and you do weaken. But it's where you got to really pick and choose. You can't have the whole game just be left to just choice. And I think offensive rebounds are something that you can stop. And I think that's something of what a proper boxing out. And then again, it's with second chance points. So I think those two things are just things that really just added on to other issues that came. When you're letting up points go, then and you're not answering sometimes, then that's just tough to really play a game with. So yeah.
Yeah, overall, I mean, I think Loyola got the job done defensively, except for those defensive box outs. I mean, they caused 13 turnovers. They had 9 steals, or we did as a team. So we won the turnover battle 13-8. So defensively, I think we played incredibly well and just couldn't hit shots between Cameron and Marcus. And so I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant here as far as Marcus Towns goes. Love him, player of the year, a Loyola legend for sure. But this performance from him was not even so much as him just struggling and not hitting shots. He played selfishly throughout the second half. He was looking for only his shot. He was trying to get back in rhythm. And of course, you know, maybe I'm not sitting here if he hits one or two of those shots and complaining or ranting about his play. But that last play of the game is a play that will forever upset me. Clay drove time after time, and you know he got fouled, or Clay would get fouled 3-4 times in a row. And on the last play, Clay drives, he beats his guy, and he's looking for Marcus. And Marcus gets the ball, and he is well defended, and he takes a incredibly difficult shot off balance, hand in his face. Meanwhile, he has both Cooper Kiefer open on the top of the 3-point line and Cameron Krutwig open in the paint. And it was a form of hero ball that is much different than the way we played as a team last year and for most of the season this year. Last year, each time we hit an important shot, be it in Arch Madness or in March Madness, every time was a guy passing up a bad look or an okay shot for an even better one. both Marcus was on both sides of that, where in the Miami game, he passed up a difficult shot to Dante Ingram. And then in the Nevada game, Clayton Custer passed up a difficult shot, and Marcus was on the receiving end of that. And he really needed to do that again this game. He was constantly fighting for his own shot. And meanwhile, when he would drive to the hoop, he would have two or three guys collapse on him and have guys open on the wing, on the three-point line. And he just didn't notice it. And he chucked up, off-balance jumper after off-balance jumper. And it was the accumulation of all that at the end of the game on the last play, where he did exactly the same thing. And hats off to Bradley. They defended it very well. They defended him pretty much perfectly all game. But in a time in which Marcus Towns, the player of the year, needed to perform and needed to execute, he only looked for his own shot. And that is why I believe Loyola lost this game. So I know, a little harsh, but you don't listen to this podcast for all the nice stuff and all the fun stuff. And that'll come along with it. But sometimes there's tough stuff, and sometimes, guys don't play super well. And that was the case for Marcus in this game. The season's not over. I don't know if you knew this, Lou, but we do have more games to play. And I say games.
Wait, what?
We have more games to play.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Wait, we do?
Yeah. We're invited to the NIT tournament, which, for listeners who might not know, is, for all intents and purposes, the second best postseason tournament in college basketball. Because we won our conference, because we were the one seed in our tournament, their rules are if you lose in your postseason tournament and you are the one seed, you get an automatic invitation to the NIT tournament. So it's structured similarly to the March Madness tournament, but there are fewer teams. There's a total of 32 teams. Our next podcast will get a lot into that, a lot deeper into that, but there are more games to play, and I say games plural because I really do think that this team has a great shot to not only win a couple games, but win the whole thing, and it would be just a fun way to send the seniors off. But more about that next podcast. For now, we're going to end this topic on the Bradley game, and we're going to jump into our commentary on the postseason awards, which we have more than a few to talk about. So after the break, we will jump into that.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
So we're going to end this podcast on a little bit of a high note here. With each season comes postseason awards, and our Ramblers this year pretty much led the conference, I would say, in our total awards and just the quality of the awards. So I'm just going to rattle them off here, and we'll break them down a little bit more and kind of in groups, starting with the most important award, which was Marcus Towns winning the Missouri Valley Conference Larry Bird Trophy, which is awarded to one player for being the most outstanding player over the whole year. Pretty much the MVP, if you will, of the Missouri Valley Conference. In addition to winning the MVP, both he, Marcus Towns, and Cameron Crutwig were all Missouri Valley Conference first team. Clayton Custer was All-Missouri Valley Conference third team. And then our boy Cooper Kyphus had two awards. He was on the All-Freshman team. He also was on the All-Bench team, which to me was actually kind of a shock. We'll talk about it. And then in addition to just having performance awards, there's also awards for scholar athletes. So someone who shows not only performance on the court, but also someone who performs well in school, in academia, and off the court. And three of our athletes were awarded. Both Clayton and Cameron were Missouri Valley Conference scholar athlete first team. And then Bruno Skokna was an honorable mention for the Missouri Valley Conference scholar athlete teams. Impressive to see. Porter always talks about it, prides himself on it for the team. Impressive to see. And then lastly, just happening today on Monday, Clayton Custer was awarded the Google Cloud Third Team Academic All-America. So this is not only our small conference, but also an award that is for the whole NCAA as a whole. So Clayton Custer being awarded for, again, you know, performing well on the court, but also performing well as a graduate student now. So I count in total nine awards, I think, nine. So super impressive to see, or actually 10 if you include Marcus Towns, Player of the Year. So fun to see. Also fun to see more than three guys getting it. Cool to see both Cooper and even Bruno getting an honorable mention there. But the first thing I want to talk about is our boy Marcus Towns, Player of the Year, and also Cameron Krawczyk. Both the two of them making the first team. So Lou, what are your thoughts on the two of them?
Yeah, as the listeners know, and if people don't listen and this is their first time, we have talked about Marcus Towns quite some time now being the Player of the Year. And we're not going to talk about our recap of the two games. We're just going to talk about him winning Player of the Year for the season he had. And he had a great season. There's no doubt about it that without his play, this might be a different Loyola team. And there's no really way to say it without saying this season was a huge benefit from Marcus. So that was a great thing. It was great to see in the Player of the Year voting. Cameron Krawczyk came in third there. And that was a huge thing, I think, to see that two guys from Loyola were on the Player of the Year ballot, and two guys had votes. And Krawczyk had votes for first. And again, Marcus had the majority of them. But it was still, that's a really cool thing to really see, and I think that helps with a great transition into first team All NBC. Really great to see the Player of the Year be on the first team. And then Cameron Krawczyk, though, jumping him from third team to first team. That's a huge boost. That's a huge just trajectory to watch how he has come from one season to the next. And he's a totally different player. He's a better player, stronger player. Faster, even, some could say. So I just think the progress this player has done, that Cam has done from just one season to season, I can't wait, and I'm excited for next year and then the future of Cameron Krawczyk as a Loyola Rambler. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was very exciting to see them both have impressive and dominating conference play. Cameron Krawczyk did not score under 10 points all of conference play. Super fun to see. And Marcus also in his own right only had one game in the regular season and then, you know, the final game of the year so far scoring under 10 points. But just some like highlights to go along with these guys having impressive seasons. Marcus had 28 points and 32 points in his two games against Drake this year, both in his first game setting his career high and then breaking it later. In the season, scoring 32 points. He also had, I think, just one, but one double-double, which is cool to see. Against Ball State, he had 14 points and 10 rebounds. But overall, an impressive season in which every single time he stepped on the court, I was looking forward to him putting up, you know, potentially 20 points a game. And he did eclipse that 20 points very often. Nearly 10 times this season. I mean, Cameron Krawczyk on the other hand, Lou, do you know how many double doubles Cameron Krawczyk had this season?
I think we should start making a watch.
We really should, like a Twitter account. I think
like
we,
just a Twitter double double, but, I do think he was up to maybe about the 3 to 5 range, maybe 6 at the most. So again, that's one of my favorite things is to see at the end of the game that Cameron Krawczyk has a double-double because it just shows you how versatile this guy is. And again, I do think you could even maybe see a triple-double coming next year with his assists coming in. And again, as this kid, the progression he has made from one season to the next has just been phenomenal. People have to give him the hats off to him too. Again, is this the guy who got votes for Player of the Year? So that just shows you after now two seasons in the Valley – that he is a dominant guy in the Valley, and he is here to dominate. And again, it's great then, if we want to talk about moving into Clay then, it's great now seeing two Loyola Ramblers back-to-back being Player of the Year. That just shows you what this program is and what Porter has built these guys into. And again, that's just chemistry maybe with the team. That's proper coaching staff. We don't really know. We don't get to see behind the curtain, but we know when the curtain's lifted and the stage that they're on that there's another guy, there's a next guy up. Mentality And that's what we'd love to see every game. We didn't get to see it every game, but being able to see two different guys become Player of the Year in the MVC back-to-back years, and I think it's just amazing. And again, is Clay then going from first team to third team within a year is tough. But again, is that just shows you that when guys step up, every other guy is also there to kind of help. And being on a team, whether first, second, or third, just shows you that they were a player that was there to help out. I think that's huge. And again, it's just to show you that maybe I think in the coming future we could have three players be MVC Player of the Year in three straight years.
It definitely could happen. I mean, I think I would put money on Cameron Krawczyk being the favorite to win.
Is that who you'd put money on?
For next year, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially because Marcus, being a senior, is graduating.
Yep.
Nick McGlynn, who finished second, he's a senior. He's also graduating. Fourth place, I think, or fifth. Phil Fain was on that list,
Phil
too.
Phil Fain, yes, that's right, and he's senior.
He's graduating. Who's there's one other guy in that list. DeSilva. So I guess it would probably be between, I think DeSilva's a junior, so
yeah, he is, yeah.
I would guess that Krawczyk will be at least a favorite, if not a heavy favorite, and then DeSilva will be somewhere close behind him. Just a fact check here, so Cameron did have six double-doubles.
Six?
This year, so yeah, so
okay.
Impressive number from
impressive,
him.
Impressive, yes.
But having Clayton be on that third team was also something super exciting to see. I mean, I think he kind of snuck on there, but you know, he had his moments throughout the season too. He had over 20 points twice, once against Norfolk State, and then again against Drake. There was multiple times where he got at least five assists, which is a nice number for him. A good season. I mean, all in all, probably hope for more out of Clayton, but Missouri Valley Conference third team is nothing to shake a stick at. What is that saying? I don't know. There's a saying, and it's impressive nonetheless. Just moving on to the next awards. Talk about our boy, our freshman Cooper Kyphus, all freshman team and all bench team. So for the freshman team, obviously is any guy who is in his first year of college basketball. He wasn't close to being the freshman of the year. There was two or three guys, like we mentioned before, who definitely had more impressive seasons. But I would say on that list, he was probably the fourth best freshman in our conference. And even on a team in which there are three guys who are going to score the ball and look to score the ball, he found his role. And his role was being a deadly three-point shooter and also a guy who – you could count on with the ball at the end of the season. Not going to turn it over. He was a guy that dove on the floor a lot for loose balls, which is always a good thing to see. But yeah, Cooper Kyphus, freshman team, bench team. What do you think about our long-haired boy, Cooper Kyphus?
Yeah, I think to see Cooper, that's another thing to see. Again, is the kid had 19 points in his first ever collegiate game for Loyola Ramblers, so you knew something special was coming. Again, we had such depth that he wasn't a starter, but he might have filled in the role. Again, we can fact check that in a bit, how many games he started, or if any. But I know he was in there, and the rotation, he was always a part of it, especially with Lucas getting down. He was there, and I think that's just great to show their response after the end of a season is that he gets rewarded for his playing and his great attitude and great just play. Again, he's a freshman, so there are plenty of things I would love to see this progression as well. Maybe you see progression from him being freshman team and bench team onto a first team, second, or third team for next year. Again, is with our two seniors leaving, this is where we need guys to maybe think about what we're doing next year. And again, this is just a glimpse. This is just freshman year in collegiate basketball, and that was just a glimpse of him. Just fact-checking, Cooper did start 10 games out of 33. So those 10 games are great to see that he's been already into their starting system. So maybe you can see that for next year. But regardless, it's going to be interesting to see this progression as well from him. And I know we'll talk about other guys, but I think Cooper, for being the newbie on the team, being a freshman, I think he has a high ceiling coming forward.
Completely, yeah. Like you mentioned, his season high was that 19 points in his first game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do that and more in next season and seasons to come. But he also led the team in three-point shooting percentage-wise. There were a bunch of games in which he had four or more three-pointers, I think six or seven. And probably the most important game of the whole season, which is our loss to Bradley here this past weekend. He led the team in scoring with 14 points. Just seeing him, his progression in figuring out his role and the conference slate was impressive to see. And he should be a mainstay on this team for his next 3 years. Moving on. Some scholar athlete awards given out. Clayton Custer, Cameron Krutwig, and Bruno Skokna all had an honor in Missouri Valley Conference Scholar Athlete honor. Custer and Krutwig both collecting first team, and Bruno on the honorable mention. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Custer was on this team last year as well. I think with Ben Richardson.
I would say him and Ben definitely were on this. Yeah.
So it is cool to see two guys again. Custer picking up back to backs. Definitely surprised that Cameron was on the list. I mean, you know, it's we don't follow their GPA like we do their points per game, but you know, Cam picking up that honor is cool to see. It's important for this team with their graduation rate being at 99% to have these guys consistently picking up these honors, and especially seeing Bruno on the list was cool to see too. I know Porter loves seeing these awards. I don't know, not much to talk about the scholar athletes, but then also Clayton picking up just recently the Google Cloud third team academic All-America. It's really interesting to see him get awarded nationally for this award. Definitely very impressive. And I don't think it will be our last national award. I would anticipate Marcus Towns picking up some national recognition in the upcoming days or weeks. Last year, Clayton Custer was an honorable mention for the All-American team, and I would anticipate Marcus picking up a similar recognition this year. But all in all, a great award season, a great showing from our team. Do you have any predictions for next year?
I would love to predict another Valley Conference win and bid into the NCAA tournament. But next year, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I know we'll talk about it after the end of this season, since we still have a season to go. But if I'm going to predict something, I'm going to say that it's going to be a different, intriguing fit into the starting lineup. I think there are going to be a few guys, new guys. We'll talk of them. The guys right now we have committed to Loyola for the next year are Marquise Kennedy, Thomas Welch, and Paxton Warjack. So all three guys know each other very well. They all happen to play on the same AAU team. But I think with those guys coming, I think rotation is going to be very interesting. And again, with our two seniors leaving, I think that's going to be something to really talk about. And we'll go into depth more about that, I feel, after the season. We definitely have both our heads on that as well. But yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Cam Krutwig picking up his Player of the Year trophy this time next year, back-to-back-to-back, for sure. Definitely looking forward to seeing Lucas Williamson's growth.
Defense Player of the Year. I can see him. A healthy Lucas Williamson, Defense Player of the Year.
Completely. And, you know, we'll get a transfer player to be activated in Tate Hall, which we'll give you a little bio breakdown on him in a future podcast. But overall, I do think next year is going to be a completely different roster. It's going to be a different feel to the team. It's going to be a matter of I think we'll have better three-point shooting, guys who can shoot the ball more consistently, and just overall more guys who can shoot. Because this year it did seem limited at times of who could shoot the three ball. But yeah, future day, future podcast. We'll dive into that, make some bigger predictions, have some hot takes. My hot take is going to revolve around Marquise Kennedy, but I'll save that one. But overall, You know, this season, it's not over yet. We do have postseason basketball. We did win the conference. And I, if you asked me at the beginning of the year what my goals were for this year, it would be either winning the conference or the tournament. And that is something that proves that you are a consistent team, a consistent showing. So definitely a success as a whole this season, and it's not over yet. But just a heartbreaking way to go out this year, losing such a close game, such a winnable game. But overall, that's been the story of the season. So I think that'll wrap it up here from Podcast 63. Another regular season in the books. And we will have most likely a podcast on next Monday. We definitely will. It's a matter of having – I don't think there will be a midweek podcast just because there's no game to preview yet. But please follow along on Twitter. We'll keep you updated as far as NIT chatter goes. But by this time next week, we will have our matchup set and who we're playing and where we're playing and when we're playing. So keep in touch. Keep in tune. We will have more content for you guys here. So thanks for listening. It's been another episode of Podcast 63. Go Blurs.